this evening, we've got something really special in store for you, and that is that tonight we're really going to basically just do two simple things. Tonight we're going to remember. We're going to remember the death of Jesus Christ. And we're going to walk through some scripture tonight just revisiting and remembering the price that he paid for our salvation. The second thing we're going to do tonight is not only are we going to remember his sacrifice, but we're going to examine our hearts. And at the end of service this evening, hopefully everybody got one of these little communion cups. If you didn't get one, go ahead and raise your hand right now, because at the end of service, the last thing we're going to do tonight before we dismiss at 7:30 is we're going to share communion together. And so part of what we're going to do this evening is remember his death, but then in light of his death, we're going to examine our own hearts. And we're going to take a hard look on the inside and let the Lord do an evaluation and an examination of who we are and where we are in light of what he has done for us through his Son. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul actually reminds us of those two very things. He reminds us of the importance of remembering his death. And he encourages us in light of Jesus' death that we should examine our own hearts, that we should examine our own lives. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and he said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it.'" Look at verse 26. "For every time you eat this bread and drank this cup," he's speaking of communion. It was the Passover meal for Jesus and his disciples, but it is the communion meal for us as New Testament Christians. Look what he says in verse 26. "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's" what? "His death." You are announcing or proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. How many know Jesus is actually coming again, somebody? He's coming in power and he's coming in glory. Amen? So look at verse 27. He says, "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup." Three times he says, "Remember me, remember me, remember me." He says, remember Jesus, remember his body, remember his blood, remember his sacrifice. And then he shifts to examine yourself. Listen to what he says. "That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup." Look at verse 29. "For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." That is why, look at verse 30. "That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves," y'all say that with me, "if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way." So tonight, we're going to remember. And tonight we're going to examine our hearts. So let's talk about what we're remembering tonight. The first thing I want you to recognize is tonight we are remembering that Jesus proved his love for us by dying on the cross. On the cross, Jesus demonstrated to the world what real love is. I want you to hear the word of God tonight. We're going to read a lot of scripture this evening, but I want you to hear the voice of the Spirit. I want you to hear the Word of God resonate in our hearts and our minds. And as we remember, we examine. And as we remember, we examine. Look what he says, Romans 5. "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Apostle John in 1 John 4 says this, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And this is real love. Y'all say that with me. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is real love. I want us to look in Mark chapter 15. And in Mark chapter 15 tonight, we're going to read the story of our redemption, which is the story of Jesus' crucifixion. The Bible says this, verse 1. Very early in the morning, the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of religious law, the entire high council, met to discuss their next step. They bound Jesus, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. And Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus replied, "You have said it." And then the leading priests kept accusing him of many crimes. And Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer them? What about these charges they're bringing against you?" But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner, anyone the people requested. And one of the prisoners at that time was Barabbas, a revolutionary who had committed murder and an uprising. And the crowd went to Pilate and asked him to release a prisoner as usual. "Would you like for me to release to you this King of the Jews?" Pilate asked. For he realized by now that the leading priest had arrested Jesus out of envy. But at this point, the leading priest stirred up the crowd to demand the release of Barabbas, instead of Jesus. And Pilate asked them, "What should I do with this man you call the King of the Jews?" And they shouted, "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, and he ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Tonight we remember not only how God demonstrated his love through his Son Jesus on the cross, but tonight we remember how inherently evil we are apart from God. It was our sins that nailed Jesus to the cross. I'm going to be honest with you, it's really easy to read the story of the crucifixion, and it's really easy for us to think, if I was in that crowd, I would have been defending Jesus. If I was in that crowd, I would have never yelled, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But the truth is, all of us, because of our own sin, our own rebellion, our own pride, our own envy, our own jealousy, our own sin, we all in our own way said, "Crucify." It was our sin, it was my sin, it was your sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. Listen to what Isaiah said. He said, "All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him," speaking of Jesus, "the sins of us all." All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. Rebellion, in its simplest definition, is choosing my path over God's path. And the truth is, every single one of us in this room tonight, every person on planet Earth since Adam and Eve sinned, have lived our lives in rebellion, choosing our way over God's way. Choosing bitterness and resentment instead of forgiveness and grace. Romans chapter 3 says it like this. As the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. For everyone has sinned. And we all fall short of God's glory. Tonight we remember how wicked we really are. Tonight we remember that it was our sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. Tonight we remember that our rebellion and our iniquity and our transgressions and our pride and our jealousy and our stubbornness were the very nails that pierced him and placed him on the cross, because it was for our sin that he died. But the gospel's good news. Listen to what Jesus said literally while he was hanging on the cross. Luke 23. It says, when they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed Jesus to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right hand and the other on his left. And Jesus, looking at the crowd, think about this, looking at the soldiers, looking at the priests that mocked him, looking at those who had scorned him, looking at the crowd, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Tonight we remember that Jesus still forgives us. Even when we reject him, he still chooses us. Our sins may have drove the nails, but his love never fails. No matter what you and I have done tonight, Jesus can and will forgive us. Tonight we remember that forgiveness is still available. As Jesus, literally hanging between heaven and earth on the cross, looked at the people that literally drove the nails in his hands and his feet, he looked at the high priest who had mocked him and scoffed him. He looked at the people who had shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" He looked at the people who had spit upon him and laughed at him and pulled the beard out of his face, and he said, "Father, forgive them." If Jesus can and will forgive those who literally nailed him to the cross, then God can and will literally forgive me and you. His love never fails. In Luke chapter 23, reading on in verse 37, the Bible says this. It says, they called out to him and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And a sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals hanged beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God? Even when you've been sentenced to die, we deserve to die for our crimes." How many of you realize tonight that we deserve to die to our crimes? If we got what we deserve, we would all get hell. Don't you realize we deserve to die for our crimes? Verse 42, and he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Tonight we remember. We remember that no matter what, there's always hope. That we are never too lost for Jesus to save us. And that if you and I can recognize him as Lord and Savior, then he can and he will save us, and he will give us eternal life. We remember tonight there's always hope. If there was hope for the thief on the cross, who was literally breathing his last breath, then surely there's hope for me and you. There's hope for our world. There's hope for our family. No one is too far gone that God can't save them. As long as there is breath in their lungs, there is hope for their soul to be saved, and for the grace of God and the blood of Jesus to be applied to their life and be forgiven. John chapter 19. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." And a jar of sour wine was sitting there. So he soaked a sponge in it, put hyssop on a branch, and held it up to his lips. And when Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Tonight we remember that it is finished. It is finished. Death, hell, and sin have been defeated. Can I get an amen? Amen. Death, hell, and sin have been defeated. And this isn't the end of the story. It's actually just the beginning. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he wasn't saying our world or our lives were over. He was saying the power of sin and death had been brought to an end. My mission was complete. Sin and death had been destroyed. And now new life could begin. Tonight we remember, it's finished. There's nothing too great, nothing too strong, nothing too powerful for the blood of Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're going to watch a video, a small clip from the Passion of the Christ. And as we watch this video, I want to just encourage you tonight, let's remember. Let's remember that on the cross, God was proving and demonstrating His love for us. Let's remember as we watch the film tonight that it was our sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. Let's remember tonight that as we see the sacrifice that He made, that forgiveness is available to all. And let's remember tonight that there's still hope. There's hope for you. There's hope for your family. There's hope for the wayward son and the wayward daughter. There's hope for those that you love and you care about that have seemingly turned their hearts and their lives against God. There's still hope. And last but not least, let's remember, it is finished. And the best is yet to come. Amen. Let's watch this together.
Yeah. Sorry, please.
Mutate flagello.
Alcun clavis,
No. Kank.
Monstra nobis qua di Betur.
Prova istud.
Quale?
Nime sok parvo.
Dibi bene esse. Gusta! Gusta!
Quid faccio?
E schifo e menta la magna!
Vedi! Uno!
My heart,
Partite tignum, stulti. Super pacem sua.
Erigite, cruce! Crucite! Crucite!
Before we do, I want to just ask you to stand to your feet and let's just bow our heads before the Lord. I believe that tonight is a holy night. I believe that it's a night that God has set apart for us to remember the amazing sacrifice that His Son Jesus made for us. But it's also a time for us to examine our hearts. And I want to ask you a very simple question tonight. Are you right with God? Are you right with God tonight? If you were to stand before the Lord tonight in judgment, Would you hear those wonderful words that say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Or would you hear those dreaded words? "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." Tonight I want to give you a very real, very powerful opportunity, and that is an opportunity tonight to respond to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. An opportunity to examine your heart and realize that tonight Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, and you are not right with God, at least not in this moment. But I believe that tonight the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. The Holy Spirit has been calling to you, and tonight there's a revelation that you need Jesus. It's that revelation that God, it was my sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. It was my rebellion that put him there. He was pierced for my sin. He was crushed for my rebellion. And that my only hope is faith in Jesus Christ. If that's you tonight and you say, "Pastor Keith, tonight I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior." I want to ask you just to slip your hand up, really simple, just around the building tonight. Just a simple act of faith that says, "Tonight, I want to trust Jesus. Tonight, I want to accept the sacrifice that he paid for my sins." If you've never made that decision, you've never truly surrendered your life to Christ, tonight's the night. God is calling you. The Holy Spirit is beckoning you. And the sacrifice of Jesus' body on a cross is saying, "I died for you." This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. I'm going to ask Karita to begin to sing, and we're going to go into a final song. And I want to just do this tonight. I want to open the altar. And maybe you just need to do some business with the Lord tonight. Maybe you need to respond to something tonight. What we just saw was powerful. What we just experienced in itself is life-changing. And right now, I just want to give you an opportunity as we open the altars, we go into this last song of worship, for you just to come and kneel. Just to come and say, "Lord, I want to just lay some things at your feet tonight." Maybe you know you're a Christian, you know you're saved, you know you're going to heaven, but you also know there are some things in your life right now that just aren't where they need to be. There's some things that need to be laid down. There's some things tonight that need to be nailed to the cross. It is finished, and you don't have to carry it anymore. Especially as a child of God, especially as a Christian, you don't have to carry the weight of those things on your shoulders anymore. So tonight, just as we are, the altar's open. Let's sing this together with her.
To rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot of
it. The altar's open. You just come. Let's nail some things to the cross tonight. Let's leave some things in the altar this evening.
Just as I am,
Jesus died so you could be free. He shed his blood so you could experience the life that only comes from knowing him. Casual Christianity, halfway living your life for God, that's not what Jesus died for. Jesus died so that we could live for him. The Bible says if one man died for all, then all men should live for one. And that one man is Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and you came in feeling hopeless. The cross declares there's hope. Maybe you came in tonight thinking, "Maybe I've went too far. Maybe You know, I knew God at one time, but I've just walked away and I've walked away. I want to tell you something tonight. The good news is you can turn around just as quick as you walked away. You can turn around. You can come back to God just as fast as you walked away from Him. Because God never abandoned you. God has never forsaken you. And Jesus is calling you. He's saying, whosoever will, just come. Just as you are. Bring Him your burdens. Bring Him your sorrow. Bring Him your questions tonight. Maybe you've got questions. Maybe you feel like God's let you down. Maybe you feel like there's some things that's happened in your life and you don't understand them. You thought if you were serving the Lord, these things shouldn't have happened, but they did happen. And maybe you're just carrying a lot of questions and a lot of confusion tonight. I'm just telling you right now, there's an answer tonight at the foot of the cross. There's an answer in Jesus this evening. And He's just calling us. There's something powerful about just coming to an altar. There's something powerful about just walking forward and bending a knee and declaring, God, I worship You, I honor You. God, I need You. The cross declares that we are all desperate. Desperate in need of a loving Savior. Desperate in need of someone that died that we could live. This is your moment. Through that song again. The altar's open. Just respond. You're not responding to a preacher. You're responding to the Holy Spirit that's dealing in your heart right now. This is a holy moment. That the victory of your Christian life really all comes down to your obedience to God. Just responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Just responding to what God is saying and what God is doing in your life. And tonight I just want to encourage you. We're going to close with communion in just a few moments, but I want to just give you an opportunity. If the Lord is drawing you to come tonight, just to kneel before Him, that's where your victory is. Your victory is in your obedience to Him. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We're going to sing just one more time through that chorus again. And then we're going to share communion together. But this is your moment if you need to come.
Just as I
continue to come tonight, let's just reverence this moment for just a minute. Why don't we just close our eyes as these continue to pray in the altar? The Apostle Paul said we should partake of communion. And as we partake of the body and the blood of Jesus, we should remember Him. And that we, as we partake of His body and His blood, we proclaim His death. We declare that the price has been paid, that the sacrifice has been made. and that a new covenant between God and man has been purchased through the blood of Jesus. Paul encourages us to remember. And then he challenges us to examine ourselves, not to partake of communion in an unholy way, not to dishonor or disregard the Lord's body. It's called holy communion because it's holy. It's set apart. It's not just a piece of bread and some grape juice. It represents the body and the blood of Jesus. It represents the fact that what we saw on the screen tonight really happened. Blood really ran hot that day on Calvary's cross. His body was broken. His hands and his feet and his side were pierced. A crown of thorns were placed upon his head. And the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the hope of all mankind, the only perfect man, the only sinless human being that had ever walked the planet, offered his life as a sacrifice for me and you. So Paul says, examine yourselves. Do not partake in an unholy manner. Do not disrespect the sacrifice that Jesus made. Do not dishonor the price that God the Father paid as he sent his Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. So, Father, I thank you tonight for the body and the blood of Jesus. I thank you tonight for the sacrifice that was made on the cross. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you saw us. God, you saw us gathered together here in Arab, Alabama on a Friday night. You saw us. And you demonstrated your love toward us so that through Christ we could be saved. So right now, if you will, go ahead and begin to open your sacraments. If you will, just peel back the top, grab the bread, open the juice. Lift our sacraments to the Lord. Father, we thank you today for the body and blood of Jesus. And God, with honor and respect in our hearts for the price that was paid, Father, we honor you. Jesus, we remember. Lord, tonight we do not take lightly the price that was paid, but soberly and reverently, with godly fear, we bow before you. We thank you. We thank you for the body and blood of Jesus. And we ask your blessing over these holy sacraments tonight, that we would eat and drink life and not death, blessing and not curses, healing and not sickness, wholeness and life. So we bless it and we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, let's receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus. give us a final blessing. Father, I bless your people tonight. Father, I bless them with the favor and the goodness of God. Father, I bless them as your sons and your daughters. I bless them tonight as heirs and joint heirs in Jesus Christ. And God, I declare the blessing of the new covenant over them, that through your blood and through the brokenness of your body, that we have life and life eternal. So Lord, we rejoice in who you are and in the gift that you've given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen.